Hi, welcome back. Dr. Shaw here with my 8 podcasts in my Teaching Humanity Remotely series. In my last podcast, I discussed the topic of strategies. Again, a strategy is a tool to help you. One tool for adults to use when working with children is scaffolding, and I forgot to mention that, and I think it's really important. What that means is, as an adult, I'm going to do exactly what it looks to me is needed when working with the child. Nothing more, nothing less. So the more a child can do, the less I'm going to have to do. Now, the way I worked is I would front load everything. So I would give a lot in the beginning, and then I wouldn't need to give as much later on because, again, I want children to be independent. And for parents who are working at home when they are not used to working at home, when they had the freedom to be in a workplace and now they're at home and they were not working at home with their children the way now many of them are having to, we really want the children to be independent. And that's okay. You know, you can have that high expectation. There's work and there's play, and adults get to also work and play, and each person should be doing their work as independently as possible. So I want to just talk to you a little bit about what scaffolding looks like. I originally started writing books. The first book I wrote was called Good Manners, and this is how it came about. My granddaughter, Olivia, one day asked me why we needed to have good manners. Now, when I was a kid, if I asked my parents something, I might have gotten an answer like, because I'm telling you. That's not a great answer. You know, it's really not giving me, as a child, information that's going to help me make a decision for myself. It's not going to give me a self-extending system. I'm not going to be reflective. If I'm a well-behaved child, I'm going to listen. And if I'm not, I'm going to rebel. So that really isn't that helpful. When Olivia asked me why she needed to have good manners, I could have said, well, because it's nice to have good manners. I could have said, you know, it makes people feel happy if you're friendly to them. But instead, I had the moment. So this is a big key, because I don't want parents to feel guilty if they don't have the time. And I'll come back to that in a minute, because I know what it's like to be a working parent. But I had the time, because I'm a grandmother now, and I told her a story. I said to her, you know, when Joshua, who would be her uncle, my son, was a little boy. He was born paralyzed from the waist down. I remember saying to him, you know, Joshua, because of some of your physical limitations, you're going to need some more help than other people who didn't have physical limitations, you know, in the world as you grow up. And I'm just wanting to tell you that it will make you and the people who may need to service you feel best if you're polite with them, if you have nice manners. And think about whether you think that's true. So I shared what I shared with him when he was a little boy, and I asked him to share, because I didn't want to just say, do it because I tell you to, because I don't think, again, it doesn't give the child the opportunity to gain responsibility for their own learning. And we would talk about it, and he is the most polite young man I have ever met. It's incredible. He's just incredibly polite, and it is really a pleasure to serve him. So I shared that story with Olivia, and then I just asked her. I said, instead of me giving you the answer as to why I think you need to have good manners, because you know about good manners already, you know how to say please and how to say thank you and you're welcome, you know that you've seen that get done a lot, you also do it a lot, you also say those words. So instead of me telling you what I think, I'm going to ask you, why do you think we need to have good manners? And in that exchange, I'm scaffolding. So in the beginning, maybe she didn't know why we needed to have good manners. And then I might have said, well, you know, when we say please and thank you, it makes us feel good. How does it make you feel? So whatever I could share with the child so the child could be in the conversation and in the position of not only being the learner, but also starting to be the reflector of their own learning, that's a scaffolding experience. And that's what you want, because you want the child to know, and you really want the child to be able to start using the strategies without needing your approval or without needing you all the time. So when I was a teacher, and I would work at the beginning in kindergarten with children, and we would be writing in our journal every day, and let's say a child made a picture of being on a picnic with mommy. Let's just say that was the picture. And the child would tell me all about it. Well, this is, you know, this is the grass, and this is that we ate turkey sandwiches, and this is my doll, and this is the blanket, and, you know, here's strawberries, and that's mommy. And I would say, okay, well, what word would you like to label? And the child would say, I want to label mom. Okay, well, do you know anything about how that word works? You know, what does it start with? And, you know, maybe I would go, and maybe the child would say, M. Do you know how to write it? Maybe the child would say, no. I would write it for them. We'd share the pencil. Again, scaffolding, sharing. So I would write the M, and then I would go, do you know what letter goes ah in ma? Oh, that's O. Do you know how to write it? Yeah, I know how to make that circle. So then the child writes that. And then now the child saw me write the M, maybe at the last sound and letter in the word mom, maybe they can write that M now. The next day when they were in their journal again, and they wanted to, let's say, write my mom, then I would teach them, oh, you know, they would know that was a capital M. Then they would maybe hear my I, and they hear the I, and they'd write I, and then I would say, oh yeah, you know, those are the two sounds you heard, M, I. It happens to be a Y. I would give them a little conversation about that very briefly. They're just 5 years old. I'm not expecting them to know how to spell it necessarily. But because I wanted them to be independent, I would front load a lot. And so we together would write my, and then I would say, you know, each word needs finger space between them. So the next word is going to be mom. How do you write that? We'd write that together, but we'd have finger space. And by the end of the first month in kindergarten, I would have students write a full sentence. It would be, this is my mom. I like my mom. You know, simple. But enough, because I gave so much in the beginning, so that after that first month, kids had a lot of choices to be able to write simple sentences. This is me. I am five. Simple things, but they had spacing between words, so their writing really looked like writing, and they were able to start with a capital letter and end with a period because I gave them a lot in the beginning. Then I had the freedom to give other students other teaching lessons that they needed, and they also had the freedom to feel successful. And then because they were new writers, every single day I made sure that I conferenced and spoke to every single student. That was the requirement. So little new learning, lots of guided practice. I'm guiding them through that practice so that they can get a self-extending system. I'm scaffolding. I'm using the strategy of scaffolding, which is sharing the task until the child can do the task independently and reflect about their learning. And I do not want any parent to feel guilty or badly when they don't have the time to be able to do what I'm describing. I want to be really human, and I want to be really helpful, and I want to be a cheerleader for families. So I'm going to share some of what I hope you'll think is funny, but are absolutely true stories. I, as a busy working mother, was so busy that sometimes I would encourage my kids to wear their next day's clothes to bed so that when they woke up in the morning, they would already be dressed. So I get it. I get what it's like to be really busy and to be in a hurry and not have the time. And I am not saying every single time you're talking with your child when you're very, very busy, you're going to have the opportunity to share the task, to front load, to scaffold. I mean, there were times in that backseat when I would say to my kids, what do you want for dinner? And they wouldn't answer. And then I'd say, okay, what do you want? Do you want macaroni and cheese or do you want spaghetti? And when they didn't answer, I'd be, okay, you're having spaghetti. To me, it seemed like I was giving them enough wait time, but obviously I wasn't. And in retrospect, I knew I wasn't. I was rushed and I was stressed out. So you can't always be your best. But when you can, when a child asks a question, the more that you can share the task even of the answer so that, you know, because some questions are just, they really do know the answer and only you would, you know your child better than anybody else. So I just wanted to say, if you can, when you can, when you have the time to be calm and there's a few more minutes and it's not so stressful, when your child asks you for something that you want them to really be learning independently of you, or you want them to have already learned it, it is best to have a little dialogue about it, such as instead of saying, you have good manners because I tell you to have good manners. Like even with Joshua, what I said to him was, in your lifetime, because you have physical limitations, because you're getting around in a wheelchair, if you drop something on the floor, you might not be able to get it. You have low bone density. So you're not going to want to be a polluter, right? He already knew that. So what would you do? Oh, yeah, I'll have to ask nicely to have someone help me pick that up. Exactly. So then he just knew that. And he also came to it on his own. And that reminded me of another thing that I wanted to discuss. This is like the pre-podcast because I wanted to actually be talking about something else during this podcast. But I'm getting more comfortable in trying to reflect about what is useful to you, my audience. I want to be of service. And that's why I'm trying to be reflective and then say, what did I miss and what could be beneficial to you? So I wanted to talk to you about responsibility and responsiveness. In my last podcast, I said to you, I had certain behaviors that I have absolutely no tolerance for. If you're sorry, change your behavior. Don't give me words, or make sure your words match your actions and your thoughts and your feelings. That's what makes you true. So I said, if a child would shrug their shoulders, that would be, I have zero tolerance, because the child's saying, I don't care. I did it. I'm taking no responsibility for that inappropriate thing that I did. And by shrugging my shoulders, I'm telling you, I don't care that I did it, and I'm not owning it. I don't care that there's a learning lesson there. And that's unacceptable because as the adult who doesn't want, let's say a sibling hits another sibling or grabs a toy or something, that you want to nip that behavior in the bud. And you go to your daughter or your son who did the hitting and you say, why'd you do that to your little sister or brother? And they shrug their shoulders. If you let them get away with that, they're learning that. We are what we pay attention to. We socialize children's attention to what we want them to pay attention to. When a child comes into my class and they shrug their shoulders, it's because that is a strategy, a tool to help them that has worked. So when I'm changing the script because that I have zero tolerance for that, they're like, what? Why? I shrug my shoulders all the time at home. What's the problem? They're not telling me that. They're not using their words. They can't do it. They're just in shock that I'm not accepting that. I'm telling you, this is the reason I'm not accepting it. It's unacceptable behavior because what the child's learning is it's okay for them to have done what they've done without taking any responsibility or ownership. And then there's no learning. And then the mistake is not to be celebrated because there's no learning, right? Okay. So what I'm saying is this. Any human being can only be responsible for an action if they are responsive to the action. Let's see if the other way works too. Can you only be responsive if you're responsible? No, I think what goes first is that you can only be responsible if you are responsive. So if a child's shrugging the shoulders for hitting the sibling and I want them to learn to not hit the sibling, I would say, or if this was in my class, let's say a child, didn't put away something or acted in a way that wasn't friendly or hit a friend or whatever, you know, and the child shrugged the shoulders, I would say, you are not allowed to do that. You did something. You did this behavior. So you are, however long it takes, you have to figure out one reason why you did that behavior. I give them a little time to think about it. If they still can't come up with an answer, then I'm going to have to scaffold. So the scaffolding might be, is it possible that you didn't know that was the wrong thing to do? Let's really look at that. I don't think that's possible because you're not admitting that you did it or you're not taking ownership about it. So let's see. So they'll come to the fact together, scaffolding that little conversation, that they knew that what they did was wrong, but they still didn't care. Is it possible because you do that kind of behavior in other places and no one said it wasn't okay? I'll give them a little out. I'm going to give them a little out because if I see it's going to be so hard that it's going to take all day and I don't want them to be timed out all day and I'm just getting to know the person and how much I have to scaffold. If the child says that, then I get to say, well, I'm here to tell you that's not okay. So you're not going to do that again. So again, I'm going to socialize the child's attention to what I want them to pay attention to. I'm going to have them become responsive. And I'm going to then say, if you do something and it is the wrong thing to do, you need to see that you did it. We need to agree if you think that's right or wrong. Is it right to hit somebody? Is it right to take the toy? Is it right? So then once we make that agreement, we're not going to do it again. If we do it again, are you going to admit that you did it and get a learning lesson from it? Because now you're being responsive, and then you can start being responsible. And then you can start reinforcing that kind of behavior. So, you know, I used to find the word manipulation to be kind of, it had like a negative connotation. Oh, that's so manipulative. But in a way, we are constantly manipulating our children's behavior. We're socializing their attention. We're reinforcing what we want them to do in a positive way and what we don't want them to do in a negative way. Or at least we hope we're doing it. We might think that we're doing that, and in actuality, because we're not paying attention, sometimes we probably negatively reinforce behavior. You know, it's not our intention, but we are not in the moment and we'll make that mistake. So I wanted to speak about that as well. When I make a mistake, I'm driving in the car, the kids are fighting, I start yelling at them, you know, I need to really own that. In that moment, probably not. I probably can't do it. But in the moment that I can, I need to be able to say, you know, I want to talk to you about how I behaved yesterday. I did the wrong thing. I'm not proud of that. Sometimes I get stressed out and I do this, and I'm going to try to work on it. I'm going to try not to do it. Because in that, in you being able to mark and note what you did that wasn't right, that is such a great learning opportunity for your child, because your child's already judging you. Your child's already saying, well, you know, it's really interesting. You know, my mom and dad, they say that I can't like yell at my siblings, but they're yelling at me. So it's really important, because we're human beings and we all do those kinds of things, whether the adult or the child, you know, sometimes grown-ups act like children and vice versa. But you want to be able to own it and say, you know, I did that and that was the wrong thing to do. And I'm admitting it and I'm talking to you about it so that if and when you do something wrong, you don't have to feel shame. You don't have to be embarrassed. We can talk about it without any kind of punishment. We can just talk about it, because now I'm showing you, I'm modeling. So all of those kinds of conversations are strategies, because you're giving them tools to help them, giving your children tools to help them be able to identify, share, explain how they're behaving. And all of this is to help them socialize and grow emotionally and also get a self-extending system so that they can learn independently and not always need you by their side. Also, if you have any further questions or suggestions of subjects that you would like me to address and consider on my podcast, please email me at learnwithmeremotely@gmail.com. That's learnwithmeremotely@gmail.com. If you write, I will respond and incorporate your questions, concerns, interest in subjects on a future podcast.
And that concludes this episode of the podcast series, Teaching Humanity Remotely with Dr. Mindy Shaw. Thank you for listening. You can follow Dr. Shaw on Facebook. Her page is Learn With Me Remotely. That's on Facebook. That's also her website, learnwithmeremotely.com. Her podcasts and all the books that she's been referring to are on that site for purchase, and samples are there as well. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mindy Shaw 1. Doctor is abbreviated DR, and the one is the number one, Dr. Mindy Shaw 1. And on Instagram at Dr. Mint with a T, Shaw. Thanks again for listening. Watch out for the next podcast in the series. That'll be coming real soon.